Shrink Wrap Radio. All the psychology you need to know, and just enough to make you dangerous.
Shrink Wrap Radio number 190, Iconocards, the Untaro, with Dr. Sharon Livingston. Welcome to Shrink Wrap Radio, the planet's premier psychology podcast. This is your host, Dr. Dave, coming to you from the San Francisco Bay Area. Shrink Wrap Radio is the show that speaks from the psychologist in me to the psychologist in you, whether you be amateur, student, or professional.
What they are is a real quick, deep way to help people free their thinking and find almost magical solutions to everyday issues. It could be working on a marketing problem like you and I are used to doing, but it could also be, you know, things like losing weight or quitting smoking or dealing with a decision or a relationship, you know, things about our self-esteem, getting to know yourself on a whole new level, you know, or helping our clients to get to know themselves. And it's a way to quickly and deeply, that's the part of it that's so amazing to me. They work so quickly and they work so deeply, getting to a new level on some issue.
That was the voice of my guest, Dr. Sharon Livingston. Sharon Livingston, PhD, is a psychologist and is president of the Livingston Group, a market research consulting firm in Windham, New Hampshire. She's one of my longtime market research colleagues and friends, and I previously interviewed her back on Shrink Wrap Radio number 11. And then in a subsequent Shrink Wrap Radio, she interviewed me. She is well known for the creativity that she brings to her consulting practice. She recently stepped down from the presidency of the Qualitative Research Consultants Association, of which she was one of the founding members. Of particular interest here is the fact that she has just developed a new sort of tarot deck called Iconocards, which can be used not only for market research, but also for psychotherapy, counseling, personal coaching, self-exploration, and just plain old party fun. Now, here's the interview. Sharon Livingston, welcome back to Shrink Wrap Radio.
Thank you, David. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, it's good to have you back on Shrink Wrap Radio again. You're a psychologist and one of my best market research buddies, and I'm really excited about the Iconocards Tarot deck that you've come up with and wanted to do a show with you about it. But before we get into that, let's go over some of your background.
Okay.
Is that a trace of a New York accent I hear in your voice?
I hope only a trace.
As if I didn't know already. But I just thought I'd get that out there. And you might have picked up a little New Hampshire along the way, too, because that's where you live now.
Right. And, you know, I've told you this before. My niece refers to it as New Hampshire, that her aunt moved to New Hampshire.
Right. And we lived in New Hampshire for two delightful years. And our daughter was quite young then. And she came home from school talking about that we needed to throw out the garbage instead of the garbage.
Right. That is so funny.
I know. Our jaws dropped when we heard that. The garbage. Kids, they pick up on the new environment just so quickly and so readily. So give us some more about your background. You know, you grew up in New York, and then what happened?
Well, we've only lived here for about 5 years. And we came up here because we used to come up, my husband and I have been married for 20 years, and we had been coming to New Hampshire, I did it myself, to New Hampshire for most of our relationship because we love to hike.
I think you missed my question. I said you grew up in New York, and then what happened? I'm trying to get you to give us your early background and you got into market research and psychology and all of that.
Okay. Well, I took a class in motivational research as a sophomore in college.
Oh.
And we had an opportunity to do a research project either in human resources or in marketing research. And I have always been fascinated by advertising, and I used to love to watch the commercials more than the programming. I was just like that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So, and you know, it takes a lot more energy to make a commercial that people are going to want to watch over and over again than it does to make a one-time show. So I decided to do a research project on symbols versus slogans to see which was more impactful and memorable. And of course, I, you know, with perfect design, I did a quantitative study in the Queens College cafeteria, you know, with everybody who would look at my papers, and discovered that slogans were more impactful, particularly if they were singing. And big surprise, right? But that got me started.
Well, you said it was slogans versus symbols?
Yes.
What kinds of symbols?
You know, like an icon for a company, you know, their trademark.
Well, that's interesting because in a way, that sort of foreshadows what you've done with the Iconic cards.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. Yep, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah, except that I suppose the difference, and this is really leaping ahead more than I want to yet, but the difference is in those in your first foray into the symbols area, it was trademarks, and in your next foray, it's archetypes. But, but that's jumping ahead a little bit. So, okay, continue with your story. So you did that early research study as a sophomore. That's amazing.
Yeah, and, you know, I fell in love with marketing research, and I've always been a psych major. I was a psych major through my undergrad, through my master's, and through my PhD. I've always been fascinated by psychology. I wanted to be a psychologist since I was 13 years old, and realized, you know, I had some problems that I wanted to work on and needed help and, you know, wanted to help other people as well. I've always also been a caregiver kind of person.
Yeah.
So I kept pursuing my psych degrees while working in market research. I was so interested in it, I was able to get a job working for a company that validated research. That, you know, they call up and say, recently you were interviewed about the election, you know, with McCain and Obama, and you were also asked about blah, blah, blah. They would throw five different things together.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully the person said yes, 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 and got off the phone, and my employer was paid, like, you know, by the validation. So we were taught to do them as fast as possible because it was piecemeal.
Right, right.
So that was my second step into marketing research, and I was doing that at night and on weekends while I was putting myself to school.
And so you were about how old at that point?
You know, 19, 20, 21.
Yeah. And so how old were you then when, because it always amazes me that you were one of the founders of this international organization that we're both members of.
Now you're going into bad territory. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows that you were a founder?
No, nobody knows how old I am.
Oh, no, and I'm not going to tell anybody.
Not even Glenn.
Oh, really? Well, I'm not going to tell anybody, but I was going to ask. I've just always been amazed that you were one of the founders of the Qualitative Research Consultants.
I started really early.
Yes.
Yes. You know,
she was a child, folks.
I started when I was about 10. The thing of it is that while I was working, you know, in these, you know, part-time jobs, full-time during the summer positions, I was also in therapy groups, and I was putting in tons and tons of hours for myself and my own self-growth.
Yeah, good for you.
While I was taking classes. So I got a job working at the Warner Lambert Company in market research, and they trained me, you know, as I was an analyst.
Yeah.
and I was being trained, and I tried to bring in an African-American male moderator to do kids groups. And I had a whole big thing, you know, I had a very liberal boss, but it was unheard of at that time for a black moderator to run white groups. And this guy assured me that this was something he could do, and I was a feisty, well, you're not surprised at this, I was kind of feisty, and I went to my boss and I said, you know, there's no reason why we can't use this man to do these groups. You know, he's got the credentials, he's a great moderator,
yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, good for you.
So I brought him in. And he started the group, and after 10 minutes, the group was unruly, he couldn't manage it, and he said, well, I guess we're done. And my jaw was on the floor, like, oh my God. You know, I really put myself out for him to bring him in, and oh my God, it was so frightened. So I called my boss and I said, Jack, you know, I hate to eat my own words, but this is not working out. How about I go in and run the group? He said, you've never run a group before. I said, I know I can do it. I love kids. You know, I've got lots of nieces and nephews. I know how to do this. I'll do it. He said, all right, go ahead. Because meanwhile, this moderator walked out the door. He just left. He left.
Wow. That's shocking. I mean, yeah.
Well, that was my first group.
Amazing. Amazing.
And it was on tiny-sized chiclets. And I ran three groups. I did them myself. And then my boss started asking me to do groups that were for corporate, that there wasn't really any money budgeted, but they needed to do the groups, and they asked me if I'd like to do them. So I did.
Okay, this is a bit of insider talk between you and me, because we're talking about focus groups. A lot of our listener base probably either doesn't know what focus groups are, or are not interested in them, or see them as part of the dark side. Maybe we'll go into that a little bit. But let me bring it back more to psychology.
Uh-huh.
Who've been your major influences in terms of your psychology career / development?
Well, I bet you think it was Jung, but actually not. The program that I was in my undergraduate was very much into Skinner.
Oh, so that surprises me.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Yeah. Well, given the time, yeah, that probably was the case.
And so I learned a lot about behavioral psychology. And then there, you know, I was part of the humanistic movement, and was Carl Rogers to me was, you know, a giant. I loved Carl Rogers. The whole idea, particularly with my upbringing, the whole idea of unconditional positive regard,
yes,
was just the most amazing thing in the whole world.
And you actually ended up spending time studying with him, is that right?
I did.
Yeah, tell us a bit about that.
Well, it was while I was doing my master's, and I had I was working with a therapist who was working with Carl Rogers. And she invited me, and my best friend, actually, was able to come also to this 9-day live-in workshop with Carl Rogers. And so there were 80 of us who went to a summer. It was in July of the year. It was a summer retreat where we got together in this community. We met. There were leaders, but they were unleading leaders.
Yes.
And we met in this room of 80 people, and we spent the first 3 days out of 9 deciding what we were going to do.
Yeah, that sounds pretty Rogerian.
It was phenomenal. It was a really wonderful experience. And, you know, he did some funny things, like there were shared bathrooms. Men and women shared the same bathroom. So you'd see feet pointing two different directions. And you know.
Oh my goodness.
In the stalls.
Yeah.
Everything was on campus, and we spent an intense amount of time together, and we became an incredible community. It was quite an amazing thing. And then I was invited to come back to run a 400-person event that was happening the following year. And so my friend Lorraine and I were trained every week, every month for a whole weekend, we would go and we'd meet with 40 other people like ourselves.
Yes.
And do the same process, but also plan what we were going to do with those 400 people. So it was just a phenomenal thing. And I think I've told you this, David, at the end of the first workshop with Carl Rogers, and this was right before he passed away. You know, I think he lived like another 2 years or something like that.
Yes.
I said to him, I went up to him in the middle of one of the last sessions, and I said, is there any place that hurts? And he looked at me askance, like, oh, no, what is she going to do? And he said, well, I can't raise my right arm above here. And he pointed to some place, like if you put his arm out and looked at the distance from where it was to the parallel with his shoulder, it was like about 4 or 5, 6 inches down.
Yeah.
And so I got everyone to create a healing circle around him and all connected and send energy. And his arm went up past his shoulder.
Oh, that's wonderful.
He maintained it for a week.
Yeah.
And then it was back.
I bet he was so grateful, too.
And, I mean, he was shocked as well. He was grateful and he was shocked.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But that, it was, you know, I felt like I was able to give something back.
Oh, that's wonderful. I actually had a chance to have dinner with him and I think a small group of people about that same period, a couple of years before he passed away. But I never got a chance to work with him in that intensive way. Well, maybe we should talk about your Icona cards. So I'll let you introduce them and tell us what they are.
Well, what they are is a real quick, deep way to help people free their thinking and find almost magical solutions to everyday issues. It could be working on a marketing problem like you and I are used to doing, but it could also be, you know, things like losing weight or quitting smoking or dealing with a decision or a relationship, you know, things about our self-esteem, getting to know yourself on a whole new level. You know, or helping our clients to get to know themselves. And it's a way to quickly and deeply, that's a part of it that's so amazing to me. They work so quickly and they work so deeply, getting to a new level on some issue.
Okay, well, you're telling us what they're good for, but what are they?
Well, you know, and I'm hesitating saying it because while they manifest themselves in a deck of 94 cards,
okay,
I think they're much beyond the cards. The cards are just representations of ways of working with people. So it's something that you can hold in your hand. They're beautiful. They're very colorful. I was so fortunate to find a really talented illustrator. And what I did was I went through clip art and I found pictures that were not ownable, but that represented what I wanted to communicate with these different archetypes, you know, these Jungian archetypes. And I say Jungian archetypes only because Jung was one of the first people to ever talk about them, if you don't count Plato, I guess.
Yes.
But basically, these are highly recognizable characters that we all know. And I found someone to help me illustrate them so that we could use them to tell stories and use the stories to solve problems.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, I'm going to talk about them a little bit here. I've been privately thinking of your Icona cards as the un-tarot. Remember when 7-Up was marking itself as the un-cola, exactly. And I've kind of been kicking myself for not thinking of this myself because I had done a presentation to a QRCA group years ago suggesting that the tarot deck could be used for some market research kinds of things. I'd use it in a problem-solving exercise with some clients, and people agreed, but there were some challenges because there's so much resistance, you know, certainly in the business world that you would expect some resistance to kind of the mystical, esoteric aspects. And so, you know, I kind of agreed, yeah, it seems like a good idea, but I can see it's not perfectly suited. And I didn't take that next step that you did. And so you dispensed with all the elements of the tarot that might put people off in the world of business and people who are not open to the esoteric or who are even fearful of it. So unlike the various tarot decks, you have 94 cards instead of the traditional 78. The tarot suits of wands, pentacles, cups, and swords are gone. The higher and lower arcana are gone. References to numerology and astrology are gone, and the medieval costumes of the Rider-Waite deck are gone, and what's left are archetypal words and images that depict the archetype. Brilliant.
And they're very, very familiar, like everybody recognizes them.
Yes. Well, I wondered, how did you come up with your list of archetypes? Did you come up with your own list or go to some other source?
Well, I'll tell you what I did. I have been inviting people to come up with their own archetypes in market research for years. So among the different things that I did was I had made a list of things, you know, when I said, you know, if the brand came to life, who would it be? What would that character be? I would ask people that way, you know, on an unaided basis. And they would tell me. And so there was a lot of repetition, as you can imagine. And a lot of the images that that you would see, for example, Carolyn Miss had a deck of cards, has a deck of archetype cards, and I think she has 60 or I'm not sure how many there are, but she had a long list. And many of the ones that people had said to me in the research were duplicated in her list. And so I looked at her list. I looked at Carol Pearson's infamous 12. I looked wherever I saw anything that said archetype on it to create a list. And mostly I validated it through my own experience of what I'd heard. And actually there are a total of 160. The first deck has 94 and there are another 66 that are going to be in the second deck.
Oh my goodness.
Well,
yeah, just to kind of anchor this for listeners, and by the way, we'll give you a website that you can go to and you can see examples of the cards that we're talking about. But I've got a deck here in my hand, and there are cards. Every card has a name on it, and some examples here are outsider. That's kind of an archetypal idea that we all can identify with. We've all had the experience, I think, of feeling like the outsider at some point or place in our lives. The outlaw, the orphan, the nurse, the nun, the nemesis, the predator, the princess, the rebel, and so on. The rescuer, the robot. There are just lots of them. So they don't necessarily correspond to, some of them would correspond to ideas, say, that Jungians would traditionally come up with, for example,
right,
the healer, or maybe
caregiver.
Yes, the
warrior.
Yeah, maybe the wizard, the warrior. And some of them just seem to be sort of more modern things that we would recognize from our lives.
You know, I think that Carol Pearson did a really good job of coming up with 12 balanced archetypes, the innocent and the orphan, the warrior and the caregiver, the seeker and the lover, the creator, the destroyer, the magician and the ruler, the sage and the jester. And pretty much you can take all the Arcana cards and they fall into, in some way, either a plus value or the antithesis of that in some way into one of those groups.
It's funny that you should mention Carol Pearson because I just, a day or two ago, I just noticed a book on my bookshelf, and it wasn't even in connection with thinking about this interview, I don't think, but I hadn't noticed this book in a long time, and it's Awakening the Hero Within. It's by
right.
Carol S. Pearson, and evidently it says the best-selling author of The Hero Within. So I guess there are at least two books by her out there that are on this topic.
The Hero and the Outlaw also.
Uh-huh. So you really recommend her? The book's on my bookshelf, but I'm not sure I ever read it.
Yeah, I think she does I haven't read that one. I read The Hero and the Outlaw because it pertains specifically to marketing. And so it's really fun for marketing research. I think you would like that one a lot for marketing research. I want to read The Hero Within as well, and I'm pretty sure I know what to expect there. It's probably, you know, a lot more about these 12 archetypes that she's identified. And she also agrees that there, depending upon who you talk to, there are many more.
Yes.
You know, I think, what was it, Jung identified 7,
I don't
Carolyn
know.
Carolyn Miss is a... Do you know who she is?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Her name... You should spell her name because it's pronounced differently than it's spelled.
It might be pronounced mice. I'm not sure, but it's M-Y-S-S.
It's not mice. It might be pronounced mace. I'm not sure. I just remember that I've heard it pronounced by people who knew, and it's different than it looks.
But she's a medical mystic, and... She uses the archetypes in a different way than I do to help people, you know, deal with issues that are keeping them from being as healthy as they want to be. And, of course, you know, we are doing the same thing in psychology, except that not necessarily tying it to physical health, whereas she does. So I was inspired by her cards as well. Her cards are more tarot looking.
Yes.
And they have positive and negative values of each. You know, they have the shadow aspect written right on the card.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the positive traits and the shadow traits written right on the card. And I was actually using them for a while until I came up with my own. But people would get all involved in trying to read those and judging rather than just free associating. And what I want when I work with them, whether it's in marketing or on a psychological issue or whatever, or for my own personal growth, I want the free association, not the intellectual part that goes on. If you read, well, if you pick this card, this means blah, blah, or this means blah, blah.
Right. And I've always wanted to use the tarot in that same way. Now, you've come up with a whole bunch. You know, you are so creative, and you have come up with a whole bunch of potential uses for market research, but also for psychotherapy, counseling, personal coaching, self-exploration, and even just party fun.
Yeah.
So let's start with market research. Take us through an example. On your website, you've got some great examples that people can explore for each of these, but maybe verbally, give us an example of how one might use these cards in market research.
Well, for example, I just recently did some work with physicians and patients on pain. And so what I had them do, I was doing in-depth interviews, and we were trying to really understand what all of this, you know, the whole situation meant to them, you know, the whole idea of pain, the whole idea of pain medication, the doctor, the self. And so I had them pick 4 cards, one that represented, you know, if pain came to life, which card would it be?
Yes.
And then if the doctor that they're dealing with came to life, who would the doctor be? If the pain medication... And then, you know, what about yourself? Who are you in relationship to pain? And
So what did you learn? How did the cards help you draw some conclusions?
Well, as you can imagine, the kinds of cards that came up for the pain medication, and, you know, when you're in marketing, that's what you're looking at, so that you can help the company that's selling whatever, you know, medication it is, know what they should be communicating. So there are 2 important cards that come out when you're dealing with medication on pain, and one of them is a rescuer, and the other one's a liberator. And I like to point these 2 out in particular because they sound the same in a way, but when you invite people to articulate a little bit more about them
Yes.
and to think through the difference between a rescuer and a liberator. A rescuer is like the firefighter who rushes into the burning building and the person's prostrate on the floor, and picks them up because they can't do it themselves.
Yeah.
And some people want a rescuer because they can't do it themselves.
Uh-huh.
But there are others who want a liberator. And the liberator opens the prison door, and you walk out on your own two feet. And that's a huge difference from a marketing standpoint, don't you think?
Yeah, in a way it seems subtle, but it turns out that it's an important distinction?
It is an important distinction because one wants freedom, the other one wants to be taken care of.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, some listeners might wonder about the ethics of psychologists like you and me using a projective device like this to probe the unconscious of consumers. What's your response to that?
Well, I only work on products that I believe in, that I think have merit. About 10 years ago, I was invited by one of the large tobacco companies to do a project for $1 million.
Oh,
$1 million, David. How often do we get a project, anything even half that?
Well, I never have, I can tell you that.
I've had a $500,000 project.
Wow.
But, this is $1 million.
Yeah.
And I looked at Glenn and my husband, and I gulped a whole bunch of times. Tears came into my eyes because it was a time when money was a little bit tight, and you know how we go through those ups and downs in marketing.
Yeah.
And I called them back and said no.
Wow, good for you.
I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. So I love helping companies that are marketing ethical products. So, for example, I think that the product that I was working on with regard to pain is a revolutionary way that I can't talk about because it's not on the market yet.
Sure.
But it's a very special thing. And I want to help them to get the word out because it's better than what's out there. It's safer than what's out there. And I think it'll make a difference in our world.
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes people have the idea that we use these tools to unconsciously manipulate people. But rather, instead of that, and I think the example that you've just given helps to illustrate that, really what it's more about is helping people to express thoughts and ideas that they might have had trouble formulating, and kind of that fine distinction between liberator and rescuer might not have come out without the benefit of the exercise.
Not. It definitely wouldn't have. And it comes out so quickly. The cards make it possible to express feelings very quickly. Something happens, you know, we're drawn to the card for whatever reason, because of something going on inside, that our unconscious, you know, gravitates to that image even before we know why.
That distinction between unconscious and preconscious is a good one, too, because probably that is, in fact, more accurate, that we're not really talking about unconscious as much as you say, preconscious ideas that we have access to, but that having some imagery helps to bring forward.
It crystallizes it somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I think that any kind of tool that helps us to better express a message, a communication, I think is a powerful thing. And rather than seeing it as manipulative, I see it as helpful to create a better relationship.
Yeah, the way I look at it is we're not trying to figure out how to manipulate people, but rather we're trying to understand what is it they really want.
Absolutely. You know, I see myself as helping a conversation happen between two parts of the puzzle, you know, the people who sell the products and the people who buy them. And if people don't like something, they make it very, very clear. And I'm sure you've seen that, you know, the times. You know, they give very clear direction, like, don't do that. Don't do that. We don't like that. And if somebody, you can't manipulate someone to want something that they really don't want. I mean, you might fool them for a short amount of time, but that will end up backfiring because, you know, they're going to put all their money into trying something and then nobody's going to buy it. They might buy it once, but they won't go back and get it again.
Right, right.
So,
well, many of our listeners, you know, probably very few of our listeners are in marketing or even, you know, that interested in it. More likely, they're interested in therapy, counseling, things like that. So how might these...
Me too.
Yeah, how might these be used in therapy or counseling, your cards?
Oh, well, for example, there's a little video on my website, on iconocards.com, that I did with my husband. He wanted a cat, and he has not allowed himself to have a cat. And so we just talk about, using the iconocards, we talked about what a cat means to him, how we felt in relationship to not having a cat, how he would feel having the cat. And it was all a part of adopting the kitten that you can see the story of through his free association to the iconocards, which was really very, very interesting.
Yeah, it was also very touching. I watched that on your website, and I recommend it to my listeners. It was very touching because he was willing to be rather vulnerable, I think, and the cards, you know, helped him go to that place of being rather vulnerable and talking about what having a kitty cat would mean to him.
And, you know, here's this big strapping, you know, guy in his mid-40s, and he talked about feeling like a beggar in terms of wanting to have a kitten.
Yeah.
And which made me feel like a terrible person, like, oh my God, is it I, you know, who has not allowed him to,
to have a cat?
I love animals, so, but it was so interesting about it because we got a kitten after that, and we found out he was terribly allergic.
Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad. Aren't there, there are certain breeds, though, aren't there? That...
Yeah, we're going to try a different kind because this was a Norwegian forest cat, and it had, they have three coats.
Oh, boy,
they're very, very long-haired. And so I have the idea that their dander is more powerful because the dander comes from the saliva.
Okay.
And I think that possibly its saliva was particularly irritating to him.
Yeah.
We're going to try another kitten.
Yeah. Well, another application that sort of came up on your website more recently since the last time we had spoken was that these could be used in coaching. And, boy, that seems like a really good fit. And also, you demoed for me an application that you're developing. I hope it's okay for me to talk about the online application. Can I say
that? Yeah. Oh, please do.
Yeah. Where, let's say a coach. I think this would be ideal for a coach or a therapist who does work online, you know, over the phone. I think a lot of the people who do coaching do it over the phone. And what I realized was, boy, this online application that you've developed where both the coach and the person being coached could go to your website and they can pull cards, you know, the coach could ask them some questions and they could find the cards right there on the website and talk about them. That seems like a great application. I know some of my listeners are coaches. Talk about how that would work.
Well, that's going to be part of our Iconocards Club. And
what do you mean, the Iconocards Club?
We're creating a club where people will, in addition to buying cards, I think the cards are only as valuable. And this is why when you asked me what Iconocards were early on, I think of it more as a system or a process for working with people, whether it's in marketing research or in coaching or in counseling or just for personal growth. And so I've got a coaching club on Iconocards where people will come in and we will have every 2 weeks there's going to be another demonstration of the use of the cards with someone who's had a very good experience with them. So we'll have somebody like yourself, like, you know, when you talked about using them, you know, how that works. There'll be questions and answers. And then there'll be a discussion. We'll have telephone conference discussion. We're going to have a forum discussion. And in addition, people who belong to the club will get, you know, free access to the Icona Card Icona game. And the way the game works is that you go to the website and you go to Icona Cards /Icona Game, and you are able to browse 40 cards. There are only 40 in this particular deck, and, you know, they're taken from the different areas to be as representative as I could get them to be. And you can click on a card and drag it to a placeholder, up to as many as 9 cards, and each of those slots could represent something else. So as coach, you might say something like, choose the card that represents your reluctance to work on this. You know, which one is that?
Yes.
Choose a card that has to do with your goal. Choose a card that represents success in some other endeavor, you know, that that reminds you of this but is different.
Yes.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So, you right. know,
and as a matter of fact, what we are going to do is add questions for researchers, questions for counselors, questions for coaches, and questions for personal growth. We just don't have those up yet. But what we do have, the sorting process, and you can see which ones you picked. And so as the one way that you could use it, I don't know if you're familiar, I'm sure you were, with GoToMeeting.
Yes. It's one of those web conferencing websites where you can bring a bunch of people together and share a common desktop and look at share documents like PowerPoint and Microsoft Word and so on.
Or Icona Cards.
Uh-huh.
So that's one way that I'm using it. I bring people in to go to meeting, and I hand them the, you know, the mouse, and let them choose the cards, and then we talk about it.
Very good. Well, their application is only limited by one's imagination.
Absolutely.
And your imagination is so good that it probably would make sense for people to either join your club or attend. I know you're planning some day-long seminars. And
yes.
I know from my own experience of you that your creativity seems boundless.
Aren't you so sweet? Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, the creator card is very high up in my archetypal profile.
Yeah, I'll bet it is. Well, we probably should begin to wrap things up here. Is there anything that you haven't had a chance to say here that you'd like to leave our audience with?
Well, I think that I want to really encourage people. When you're in counseling and coaching and, you know, in psychotherapy, the creative process is, to me, is the most exciting part of it. Now, of course, I'm an ENFP for everybody who knows what that is. So, of course, it would be. And not everyone looks at counseling in the same way. Having created this deck has sort of, like, refreshed me. And I think that anything that we can do, any kind of device that we can do to help ourselves be reawakened and refreshed in our work, whatever that is, whether it's, you know, like borrowing my Icona cards to do your own work or creating your own, it's just been, you know, it's like I have a new toy and I know it's going to be around for a long time. But because of all the different uses that you're talking about that you can play with. But I encourage people to find their own as well as borrow mine.
Okay. Okay, well, that all sounds right on to me. So Sharon Livingston, and I'll put links in the website so that people can go and find these cards and some of the activities that we've been talking about. So Sharon Livingston, thanks again for being my guest on Shrink Wrap Radio.
Oh, thank you, David. It's always fun to talk to you.
I hope you enjoyed this chat with Sharon Livingston. She's definitely one of the most successful and creative people I know of in the world of market research. As I mentioned, Sharon was one of my first interviewees way back on Shrink Wrap Radio number 11 on the use of story and metaphor in market research. Then she turned around and interviewed me about Jungian archetypes and their application in psychotherapy and consumer research on Shrink Wrap Radio number 13. And if you've been a listener from the beginning, you might recall that I interviewed her husband, Dr. Glenn Livingston, in Shrink Wrap Radio number 27 on computer-assisted dream interpretation. Glenn is a psychologist also, who has managed to get the whole internet marketing thing figured out. Between the two of them, Glenn and Sharon are quite the power couple. I hope our conversation didn't come off as too much of a sales pitch. I was very excited about her Iconocard deck, and I was the one who proposed interviewing her as a way to help her get the word out. And I do think that if you're a tarot person or a workshop leader or a coach or a marketer or a market researcher or a therapist, among others, you might find these cards to be useful. Let me hasten to say that I don't make any money if you buy her Iconocards. On the other hand, I know she's planning one or more day-long trainings, as well as the ongoing seminar she mentioned, which she referred to as a club. If at any point you do contact her to sign up for any of her events, please do let her know that you heard about her work on Shrink Wrap Radio, because she's kindly offered to make a donation to Shrink Wrap Radio if you attend one of her events. So that's the full disclosure. Whatever you decide, this whole interview will be a lot more interesting to you if you go to her Iconocards website and look at the examples of the cards there and look at the videos on the site. You'll find all of this at www.iconocards.com, and Iconocards is spelled just as it sounds, Iconicards. And that's also the place where you can purchase an Iconocard deck if you want one.
You want to learn about the inside and what makes us tick? You could find all the answers you need real quick. Get on the couch with Dr. Dave. Leave your worries behind. It'll all be fine. It's Shrink Wrap Radio. It's all in your mind. For insight into personal growth and the inner life, here's Shrink Wrap Radio with Dr. Dave.
Hey, guess what? I think the Frapper map might be working again. Yahoo! I'd given up on Frapper some time ago because I kept hearing from people who had tried to post there and their info wasn't showing up. Recently, I've discovered two new folks on our Frapper map, and I'm thrilled. There's some info on the Frapper site suggesting that the software has been transferred to a new company. So that may account for the fact that it seems to be working now. The two new additions are Kate in Cowbridge, Wales, and Amy in Los Angeles, who says, "Thanks for the most intriguing podcast I've ever heard. I'm hooked." Hey, I'm really glad about that. Now, I'm still not sure if it's working or not. If you haven't already done so, please see if you can put yourself on our Frapper map. There's a link on our site at Shrink Wrap Radio over on the right-hand side if you scroll way down, or you can go directly to www.frapper.com/shrinkwrapradio. And of course, Frapper in Web 2.0 style is spelled F-R-A-P-P-R. I have a new interview up on my other podcast at wisecounselpodcast.com. Actually, it's not new. I think I mentioned it last time. But if you didn't catch it, it's with Victoria Limley Beckner, PhD, on treatments for post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Hey, this is show number 190, which means number 200 will be here before we know it. It would be nice to be able to do something special for that landmark event. I'd love it if you would record some brief congratulatory messages that I could play on the show. You can either send me an MP3 file You can use the MyChingo application that's on our site or leave a voicemail on Skype or on our phone at 206-337-0622. Let's hear those congratulations. Let me remind you again that I have a short promo video under the promos tab at Shrink Wrap Radio, and I'd like to encourage you to grab it and put it on your blog, your MySpace page, or Facebook page to help get the word out. I continue to feel that this content deserves a much wider audience. There are also flyers under that promos tab that you can print out and post on any appropriate places where people put those things up. Remember, Shrink Wrap Radio is supported by your donations. Show us some New Year's love by clicking on the big green donate button at shrinkwrapradio.com. And while your cash donations are greatly appreciated, I'm also grateful for all the other forms of support you show, including your emails, the comments you post, the voice messages you leave, the volunteer transcriptions, the way you help to spread the word, and of course, the fact that you listen at all. And I want to mention those of you who have advertised on our Top Spots widget, as well as those who've taken advantage of the discounts on our website from GoDaddy, Budget, Brookstone, and PetMeds.com. Those discount codes are still there, even though I haven't been talking about them a lot on the show, and they do help to support the show. So for all of these contributions, I'm very grateful. And I was sufficiently excited by Animoto.com that I added their affiliate link to the Shrink Wrap Radio site over in the right-hand side again on the gutter area. Just scroll down. Their service lets you quickly and easily create an MTV-style video from still photos that you upload. If you sign up for a year for $30 using the affiliate link on our site, they'll make a very nice donation to Shrink Wrap Radio. And I think for $30, it's really a good deal. I have signed up. Now, you can see my very first Animoto creation under the promos menu at Shrink Wrap Radio. This is a short montage of family photos from our 2008 Christmas. I'm hoping to put another one up before too much longer. Finally, let me remind you that this show is also part of the Science Podcasters Network at sciencepodcasters.org and the Medical Podcasters Network at podmed.com.
This is Heather Gout from the Naked Soul Podcast, and you are on the couch with Dr. Dave.
Heather Gout, thanks for that transition. Now let's take a look into our virtual mailbag. First, we hear from Bailey, who writes, "Hi, Dr. Dave. I'm still in the slow process of catching up on your episodes. When I first began listening to your podcasts, I jumped from podcast to podcast based on whatever caught my eye. Now I've realized that all of your episodes are great, so I went back to the very first one and have been working through them ever since." Hey, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. She goes on to say, "For a few months, I worked a very quiet overnight shift, and I was able to get through 3 or 4 episodes a night. But I'm back to working days and no longer have that luxury. I'm now digesting them at a pace of about 1 every day or 2. I'm sure you've heard it a million times." No, not quite a million. "But thank you, thank you, thank you for putting together this podcast. You've really found a way to create a product that has relatively universal appeal. I have no schooling in psychology, besides the required class that every undergraduate takes. I've never really had a deep interest in it until I found your podcast. Anywho, I recently listened to episode number 58 with Suzanne Lovell, Understanding Art Therapy. You can hear in her voice the passion she has for art. I loved how she emphasized the importance of the process of making the art rather than the end product. Since I was a child, I've loved arts and crafts. I've never been a technically good artist, but I've always felt that I was creative. I used to love making collages, embroidery, and jewelry making, anything hands-on and constructive. Since, quotes, growing up and getting to be, quotes, getting a, quotes, big girl job, I'm 25 now, I've had difficulty making the time to use my creativity. I was inspired after listening to Dr. Lovell's interview. I went to the craft store and bought some shrinky dinks, no pun intended. I wanted to share my creation with you. I've attached a picture. It felt great to release my creative energy. Thanks again for all you do, Bailey. And then she includes a link to shrinkydinks.com in case I wasn't familiar with them. I do remember Shrinky Dinks. I think you bake them in the oven. They're sort of these colored pieces, and you end up with something that looks almost like stained glass. And she sent me a JPEG of a really beautiful hand image with stuff in it that she created. Very lovely. Bailey, thank you so much for that. And thank you also for your enthusiastic support for what I'm doing here with Shrink Wrap Radio. And I think that the content would have universal appeal, but not everybody does because, you know, the numbers stay pretty constant. I keep hoping to grow the show, and the growth has not been as rapid as I would hope for. But, hey, I'm in this for the long haul, and I have competition out there, and part of my strategy for dealing with competition is to outlast them, because a lot of shows disappear from the podcast world. And so I'm in my fourth year, and I've already outlasted some, and I intend to outlast some others. Okay, moving along. I also hear from Robert, who was having difficulty using our feed in Juice 2.2, and I pass this along in case anybody else is using some kind of a feed reader other than iTunes. He wrote, "Hello, Dr. Dave. I have tried the following feeds in my 2.2 version of Juice, and they all come up with no episodes found. Obviously, others are getting feeds. Any idea what might be wrong?" And then he included several of the feeds from the Shrink Wrap Radio website, where I've got a link called Feeds. And you know, they read something as like the following one here, feed://www.shrinkwrapradio.com/2007/feed. I really didn't know what the solution was because for me that address works. For example, if I paste it into a browser into Safari, the feed comes up. And it seemed to me to be the proper format, and I wasn't sure. But I just had an intuitive feeling that maybe if one were to drop the first part of that address, the part that starts feed:// and just start with a www, maybe that would work. And Robert got back to me after I sent him that suggestion. And, you know, I said, I just have an intuitive feeling that this might work. And he wrote back, "You do have intuitive powers. Removing the feed:// in front of a few of these made them all work. This can be easily checked with any browser. You either see lots of HTML instructions if it's right or a blank if it's wrong. I'm surprised no one else has caught this for you before." So I'm really glad that I was able to solve Robert's problem, and just in case anybody else out there has had this difficulty, maybe it'll help you as well. The next one says, "Hello, David. Happy New Year. I just listened to the interview on lucid dreaming with Robert Wagner again for the third time. What a topic. I too first encountered lucid dreaming through Journey to Ixtlan, but never suspected that there was a whole yoga behind it. What great news. Now I'm going to invest my energies in the subject and see if I can further my proficiency in the practice. Dr. Wagner is certainly a curious and impressive fellow. He speaks very well, and his commitment and devotion to the subject are quite apparent. I like the sense that he's somehow driven from within to research this area, even though he was sidetracked in business over 20 years. Certainly not your average bear." Right, I agree. Jack goes on to say, "I have two questions or comments to throw out to you. One, do you know if Jung ever addressed lucid dreaming in his studies?" And I wrote back to Jack and confess that I'm not aware if you ever address this or not. If some listener out there is aware of some place where he does address the phenomenon, I'd love to hear about it. And then Jack's second question was, does some of what you hear or read about recreational lucid dreaming, first and second stages in Wagner's terms, remind you at all of what people are doing in Second Life? It strikes me as strangely similar, but I'm not going to push the parallel too far. Thanks again for the great work. I'm planning to make a pledge to the show as soon as discretionary spending allows, which I think will be very soon. All the best. And that comes from Jack, who's frequently writes, and I always appreciate hearing from you, Jack. And I hope your ship comes in so you can have as much discretionary spending as you need. And in relation to the second question about Second Life, you know, that was the overwhelming impression that I had when I first got into Second Life was I really felt like I was in a waking dream. It was very exciting, that feeling of newness in that world. As I spent more time there, that feeling, I think, began to wear off a bit. I've not been doing anything on Second Life, but listener Elaine has set up a session this coming week where she's inviting a bunch of friends. She has 140 Second Life friends, and she's put out an announcement that I'm going to lead a two-hour seminar or discussion in Second Life this coming Tuesday. So we'll see how that goes. I have no idea what's going to happen. And I'd give you more details, but if she's already got 140 friends there, I don't think we need anybody more to show up. If it's at all successful, then we'll open it up and I'll let you know about possible future events. So I think that better wrap it up for today. Hey, by the way, though, before I do, speaking of the Robert Wagner interview on lucid dreaming, I've gotten more comments on that. I think there are 5 or 6 comments on that show alone. I think that show has received the most commentary of all. So we will wrap it up there. You can send your emails to shrink@shrinkwrapradio.com. And, you know, I answer just about every email I get. I think I've answered every one I've received. So if you want to hear from me, write me. And remember that in addition to emails, you can also leave comments about individual shows in the comments area on the site. You can leave voicemails on Skype, where my name is ShrinkPod. There's a My Chingo button that you can use if you've got a mic. Or if you don't have a mic, then use the phone and leave a message at 206-337-0622. Thanks again to my good friend, Dr. Sharon Livingston, for sharing her Iconocards work with us. And next week's guest will be Pat Pearson, speaking about stopping self-sabotage. Until next time, this is Dr. Dave saying, it's all in your mind.